So last Saturday, I was spending time with the Lord, and I felt like the Lord spoke some things to me to show me where I had been partially, and also there was something that someone had said to me the day before, and it hit me because I had said the same words, and I had heard several other people say the words, and it was, I just want to make it through. I just want to make it through this. And sometimes it's, I don't care, I just want to make it through. You know? So those words kind of stuck out to me, and I was praying and felt like the Lord revealed to me just the survival mentality. And I've talked a little bit about that before, just really, not really the survival mentality. I haven't talked about that. Just mentioned that I don't want to just survive. And but he gave me some specifics about it to help identify the survival mentality. It's easy to fall into. It's very easy. And it's just like anything else, and a choice. But I want to read a few things. The Lord gave me a page. I just picked out a few things to share and kind of expound on. But one of the things is, survival mentality drains life, pursues nothing, and loses sight of the future. Vision is lost and replaced by the temporal and hopes to just make it through. So, drains life, pursues nothing, and loses sight of the future. So I began to ask the Lord, when it presents itself, when does the survival mentality, when does this opportunity and lie of the enemy present itself to us? When does it present itself to me? When stress and busyness take over the mind and the emotions. When we are stressed and busy, we only focus on what needs to get done. Right? I am a list person. I'm not always good with a list, but I do make a list. Now, that doesn't mean that I'll know where the list is by the end of the day, but I do have one. It is around somewhere where I've been. So Caleb always asks, well, where did you put it last? Well, if I knew where I put it last, I would not have lost it. I would have it in my hand. I'm like, don't even ask me that. That doesn't make any sense. Just frustrates me. If I knew where I'd placed it, right? So when we become stressed and busy and we focus on what needs to get done instead of why we're doing what needs to be done. I know that Jamie had mentioned a little bit of that last week, just about seeing needs, right? Seeing things that need to get done. Will someone look up Matthew 11:28, or just people know it? So, will you read it? You see, when stress and busyness is driving us to get things done, there is no time for rest. I know I never put rest on my list. I should now. So that was the first one. When tiredness and lack become all that is felt and seen. So when we, because of the stress and the busyness, we're tired when we see lack, sometimes that lack is in getting stuff done, right? Can't spread ourselves out enough. So the thing about it is that one thing with this mentality is when we're tired and we see lack, and then it's because we're stressed and we're busy, we're not getting a rest, then we actually see this as a truth. We see the survival mentality as a truth. And so it's a lie that the enemy's telling us this whole time of, you have to keep doing this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to get this done, you have to get this done. And so it begins to drive us. But remember, it pursues nothing. But it drives us. So I'm going to go to Judges 6. You know, Gideon is a good example of this. He saw the lack and he was tired. He was tired of what was going on. I'm not going to read this whole chapter because I think most of us have an idea of what it's about. But so I'm going to go down to verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Now the thing with Gideon's first response is, you know what, he's tired. And he's like, "You could tell me all you want what's going on, but I know this. Where is this God that's supposed to have done all of these wonderful things, right?" Well, a survival mentality, I'm tired, I'm busy, I'm stressed. And it's like there's a disappointment that sets in. A disappointment of not getting everything done. A disappointment of, why isn't this happening? Why isn't this going on? Verse 15, "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in it." Let's skip down. What is cool to me about this, it gave me a picture. It's not really cool, actually, but I understand. So, verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." So it took all of this time before he even realized that he was talking to an angel. I mean, he's just arguing. Right? We've heard this story so many times. I don't know how many times I've heard it preached. But like, the thing about it is Gideon was so tired of what was going on. He was like, "I know this guy is trying to tell me that the Lord is sending me and I'm a mighty warrior and all of this stuff." And he is like, whatever. He had already bought the lie that they couldn't win. He'd already bought the lie that they weren't going to succeed in it because God had abandoned him. But the whole time he was talking to an angel of the Lord. What happens is the lie creates an inability to see God encounters or what the Lord is doing prophetically. What brings us life? The Spirit of the living God brings us life. And if we're having that life drained from us, if we're having life, period, drained from us, we are not going to see the places or the encounters that bring life. Because we're not open to them. We're busy and we're tired and just done. Another thing, robber of peace. Survival mentality robs our peace. You know, because of the stress and the busyness, it opens us up to anxiety because we have no rest. So we begin to replay things in our mind. The enemy is so good at that, isn't he? He's so good, but we're running right along with him. I'm going to turn to Philippians 4. Ariel talked about Philippians 4 on Wednesday. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So the survival mentality causes us to be consumed with our circumstances. Consumed with things that need to get done. Consumed with things that drain life. Consumed with temporal things. This is one thing that hit me. The next thing hit me pretty hard. With the survival mentality, self becomes our main motivation. When we are stressed, I mean, think about it. What do you think about when you're stressed or you're anxious? It could be someone else, but it always includes you. Whether it's how you're going to handle a situation, how you should have handled a situation, why you didn't handle a situation, or the what ifs of, you know, what if I try to handle a situation and this happens? What about this happening? That has nothing to do with Jesus. That's all self-motivated. All self-motivated. If I can make it through this, I just want to make it through this. I just want to do it. And you do realize that in this, I'm confessing things to you. You know, the Word of God says, confess your sins one to another. I just happen to be one of the pastors doing it. This is unusual. I think it's every time I get behind this thing. It's like an X-ray machine. Yes. My thing has been, when it talks about vision is lost and replaced by the temporal and hopes to make it through. My thing I was saying, and I would even pray it, when God heals me, I can look for farther. When this stops hurting, I can look farther down the road. That's ridiculous. It's not the gospel, right? You can agree with me. No, now. Self-preservation. It protects oneself from harm. When self is the motivation, we protect ourselves. Which means we take no risk and we avoid rejection. 1 Kings 19, I'm just going to hit on this, you guys. It's Elijah when he runs. Thing with Elijah is he wanted to die because he thought he was the only one. He wanted to die. So he ran. Thought about this, you know, the thing with the survival mentality, because of self, protection of self, we kind of do that. We run. We run because, you know, just going to make another confession. I told Rick a few weeks ago, I had, know that everyone knows, but I had just found out that I had a fracture in my back, and then the whole thing with my neck I was fighting with. I was just frustrated, and it's not always easy to stand up here. It's not. Sometimes my leg tingles, sometimes just pain, and you know what? That's fine. Jesus is healing me. Healing is already mine in Jesus' name, right? So I told him, I was like, I'm going to take a break from preaching. So, but I knew in my heart, as soon as I said it, that it wasn't the Lord. I knew. And he just looked at me, he's like, okay. So he was like, a couple of days ago, I guess, he goes, well, I'll be ready to preach on Saturday. He was like, we don't have anyone lined up, do we? And I was like, no. And so he was talking about preaching, and I was like, I'll do it. He was like, I thought you were taking a break. So he doesn't know whether to smack me sometimes or what. But I knew it wasn't the Lord, but that's what I was doing. Right? It was easier for me to survive instead of enduring or pushing through. I was protecting myself. There was no risk involved in that. I was taking it into my hands. I was limiting God. But a lot of times, I think we do that. I know I have in the past too, is I take things, I get tired of waiting or whatever, and I take things into my own hands. And so it causes us to protect ourselves. So I'm just going to hit on a few dangers. The dangers, the survival mentality. We lay down our armor. Ephesians 6, we know that, 6:13. We are no longer living in vision. Hosea 4:6 says that we perish because of lack of knowledge. That knowledge is vision. That knowledge is knowing what God is doing now and what he wants to do in the future. But because of the survival mentality, I have no vision for the future. I lose sight of the future. We only see the temporal. We only see our circumstances of what's going on now. What I have to survive and walk through to make it to the next thing. Colossians 3:1-2 talks about setting our hearts and our minds on things above so that we give our peace away. One of my favorite verses of the whole Bible. Romans 16:20. I actually love it in the Passion. Do you have your Passion translation? I'm going to read this one just because it's my favorite. 16:20. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. And the wonderful favor of our Lord will surround you. I love how the passion says it. But we give our peace away, and it's the God of peace who defeats Satan. We turn away the power of the gospel and our calling because we don't live as overcomers. I'm going to go to that verse. Revelation 12. That he's talking about the martyrs. We are to be living martyrs. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. When we are in a survival mentality, we're not going to have a testimony because we're consumed with self. And then we're loving our life. We wouldn't say that, but then when I talk a little bit what I mentioned about, we are unwilling to deny ourselves and truly follow God. You know, I'm going to read one more scripture. One thing the Lord spoke to me, you know, this was a revelation. I was bothered for myself, but also for others. The Lord had spoken some different things to me to start doing, and I felt like I was really coming out of some things, some mentalities that I had embraced, some of these things that I had fallen into, and I had embraced those things. But this was like the last push of understanding. You know, the Lord knows this about me. Sometimes He'll give me a word and I'm good. That's enough for me. You know what I mean? He'll say something and then it's like, okay. But this time, it's been several months that He said things to me. And it hasn't been just a word and me sit on the word. It's been, okay, I want you to do this every day. I want you to do this every day. And I want you to do this every day. And so, to me, the Lord put a major responsibility on me to be obedient in order to break some things in my heart that I had grasped. And I didn't realize what it was until He brought this to my attention, exactly what it was. He would speak things along the way, and it'd be like, oh, I did. I embraced that. So I felt like the Lord showed me that through this, the main goal in this survival mentality is to steal hope. Of course, all the other things that I mentioned, because we can't look to the future without hope. We can't have peace without hope. We can't embrace Jesus without hope. Can't do anything without it. I mean, we could try, right? And that in order to fully break through is to repent. You know, I'll say that casually. Sometimes we allow thinking in and we don't get really active in what we do about it. We just kind of like, oh, I can't think that anymore. Nah. It's not exactly what happened when Jesus revealed this to me. I was like, eh. Okay, I'll change that. No. There's repentance and breakthrough happens in that. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all peace, joy and peace as you trust Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflow with hope. I don't know if you guys have struggled with this or you've maybe just struggled with one part of what I mentioned. You know, I realized that, like I said, I heard another person say that and it immediately clicked in my spirit that those same words came out of my mouth. And then I started thinking about other conversations I had. And I was like, oh my goodness. That exact line. I could just make it through this. I don't care what it takes. I just need to make it through this. But when we're saying that, we're not necessarily saying whatever it takes with Jesus. Just plow through as best we can. Right? I wanted to share that with you guys, but I also want to pray. So if you would stand and let's pray. Because it, you know, in transition, when God has us in transition, which we've talked about being in a transition, it's very important in that to have a vision. It's very important while walking through the hall of transition that you see at least a glimpse out of it. Right? If not, hope is gone. You'll sit down in the hallway and you'll just have a party. No one else will be invited, though. Which they probably wouldn't want to be anyways. Anyway, so we want to agree together and speak life to each other and speak life that we won't settle for any mentality, any thoughts, anything that could grab our hearts that we, because we have to stay focused. Lord Jesus, we thank You for tonight, God. Lord, I thank You for Your church. for your body, God. Lord, as I said, I've heard several people say, God, just want to make it through. God, this mentality has been on your body for a very long time. Lord, I pray that you shake us, God, and reveal your truth to us, Jesus. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over your body and over your church and every church in this area, God. Every leader in this area, Lord, that would be so busy and so tired and stressed trying to get the work of the ministry done, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you begin to just tell them to come away. May they hear you like in the Song of Solomon, God, come away with me. May they hear your call of intimacy, Lord. And God, I ask you to protect us. Protect us from those annoying thoughts, Lord, that can lead us to believe a lie. Jesus, I thank you that you are the only truth. And we embrace your truth. We embrace you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person, God, that maybe just fought a little bit in one area, God, even if it's just a little bit, Jesus, I pray that you strengthen us to fight harder. And God, I thank you that we are overcomers, that we're not just survivors. That's not who we are. We don't just survive, we overcome. Lord, I thank you that the God of peace crushes Satan under our feet. Lord, may we walk in that mindset, in that mentality, God. And Lord, I speak life to every vision within us. Everything, God, that you've placed within us, Lord, I speak life into that. Into those places, Jesus, those dreams, Lord, that we lay aside maybe because of distraction or busyness, God, or whatever it is, Lord. I speak life to hear clearly the prophetic word of the Lord. I speak life in order to even see what you're saying prophetically, God. Lord, I thank you that you remove a dullness off of your body. The numbing, God. The lack of concern, the lack of feeling, God. Apathy. Jesus, I thank you that you stir a fire within us. I ask you to baptize us again. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your mercy, God. We thank you, Jesus, that when we come to you and we repent, you are faithful. You are so faithful to us, Lord. And Jesus, we surrender to you. We surrender to your call for our life, God. But Jesus, we just surrender to you just because we love you and we desire to please you. May every heart in this place, God, be ignited with your passion. Jesus, we thank you again. Lord, I thank you for speaking your truth to me, God, revealing the plan of the enemy and where I embraced it. I thank you, God. For freedom, I love you, Lord. Bless everyone, Jesus, this week. May they be restful, intentional about rest, intentional about spending time with you. God, not just to mark it off the list, God, but just intentional to just be with you. Bless everyone in this house, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.